Hello, welcome to another episode of Virtually Speaking. I'm your host, Yang Chou, a technology evangelist at Microsoft. Today, we have a very special guest. She's online with us. She's special because you might have heard about her, read about her. She's a speaker, she's an author, she's an industry observer. She's a weekly tech talk show host, and she's the one and only Mary Jo Foley. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, so happy to have you on the show. And you know, we've been talking about having you come on and kind of share your experience with us for some time. I'm just so glad it finally happens.
Yeah, it's really great that we can make it work out.
You know what? Although I think it's impossible that if you're in the IT industry, not knowing Mary Jo, but just in case those just joined the IT industry today, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and things like that.
Sure. So I've been a technology reporter for 30 plus years now. I have been covering all different aspects of the technology industry. I started out actually covering hardware, capacitors and resistors, like the actual components building hardware. And then I went on to specialize more in software operating systems, especially had the good fortune of covering Microsoft very early in my career, and it kind of stuck with me, and I ended up specializing in Microsoft over time. So as I moved around different publications and websites, I basically became the Microsoft reporter, and I've been doing that ever since.
So, well, just for those audience out there, in case you don't know, in IT industry, when we say MJ, it's not that MJ, okay? It's Mary Jo Foley, just so you get that. So what is a typical day for you? I mean, how do you go through your day?
Yeah, it's been an evolution of how I do my job, as you probably can imagine. Because when I started out as a tech journalist, we didn't even have the internet. Like, we didn't have access to the internet. We didn't have email. So if you had to go look for some information about a company, you actually had to go to the library, call them on the phone, talk to them, do live interviews to get your basic information. And so, as you would expect, my day is very different now. Like, the very first thing I do when I wake up, and I live in New York, so that adds a little extra level of complexity for me doing my job, because you guys are on the West Coast primarily. So when I'm starting my day, you aren't even awake yet out there. Or you may be awake, but you're not yet publishing all kinds of blog posts and announcements. So what I do is I usually start my day around 7 a.m. East Coast time. I do a quick scan of all my RSS feeds. I have a lot of them. I use a program called newsblur.com to track a lot of different Microsoft RSS feeds. Check a variety of different websites that cover Microsoft and other technology companies, and just kind of get a feel for the day, like how it's starting out. I sometimes have stories that I'm working on from previous days that I can start working on them, but if it's a quieter day, or if it's something like I've done all my stories for the week, I have to sit and kind of wait for you guys to start coming online and rolling things out. So sometimes I'll take a break, you know, like 10 to noon, and just wait here for you guys to kind of catch up. I'll watch Twitter, see what people are talking about, make some calls maybe, or email, send out emails to people who I know are Microsoft customers and partners who I talk to frequently to know what's going on.
So how do you prioritize the information that passing through your desk?
I know, because there's so much, right? I cover, and especially in the job I have, my blog's called All About Microsoft, which means I'm supposed to cover everything that you guys do, from Xbox to Hadoop to everything in between, right? So the way I prioritize it is I try to always remember who are my readers. And on my site, I have a bunch of different constituents who come to my site. I don't really write for consumers. Like, that's not my audience. I write more for IT pros, some for devs, also for Wall Street. Like, a lot of Wall Street analysts watch my blog to try to figure out what Microsoft is doing. Mm-hmm. So the way I prioritize is I think for that group of customers, what is the most important story? And I tend to focus on products. I know a lot of other people are kind of trying to get away from covering technology through products, but I've found in talking to people, they still really want to know about products. Right. They want to know roadmaps. They want to know when new features are added or when certain features could be coming. Like, for example, this week when Microsoft rolled out Office 2016, I was getting bombarded. Probably your own help desk was getting bombarded too, as people were trying to install it and having various issues with things like OneDrive and Skype for Business, and they were trying to find solutions. So part of my job is kind of that service journalism too, mm-hmm. and that became a very big priority for me this week because so many people were asking for help. So I kind of go with the flow. And if it's a week when there's not a lot of things like that happening, I might do more kind of research, like look for mm-hmm. new code names or new projects that people haven't mm-hmm. talked about. But on weeks when there's a new product coming out like this, I'm kind of all hands on with what IT pros and devs and mm-hmm. customers, partners want to know about.
You know, one thing I find it fascinating about your work is when I go through your content, I found out that it's technical in nature, but it's also very informative. In other words, it's very digestible, but mm-hmm. it does have that technical aspect of it, and that's why I appreciate it a lot. Now, so in your job, what's your favorite part?
I've really gotten to love the research part of my job more than the writing part, even though I'm a trained journalist. The part I ended up really loving is kind of connecting the dots and putting the pieces together. That's why I think I like covering code names a lot. Like somebody will send me a code name and they'll say, I don't know what this is, but there's this Microsoft code name. It's blah, right? And then I kind of get on the trail of trying to find out. And it's really fun. It's almost like being a detective, right? You're like, okay, I know this piece or that piece, or I understand, you know, they have a similar code name over here. Maybe it's related. So I really love the research part of my job the most.
So which part turned you off then?
Mm-hmm. You know,
other than all the stress. Okay.
Yeah, it can be stressful, but also, you know, another thing I do like about my job is it's not repetitive. Mm-hmm. Like I people say, oh, aren't you sick of covering Microsoft? You've done it for so many years. But every day I feel like I write about something different.
That's right.
So I don't mind that part of my job. I don't mind the stressfulness, being under deadline. I kind of like it. It makes me, I think, a better writer and more productive when I'm on a very tight deadline. I'd say the part I like the least is probably just when you feel like you can't find anything to write about. I mean, there aren't that many days like that, but sometimes mm-hmm. you're just like, mm-hmm. I want to put some content on my blog, but I feel like I've covered this and I've said mm-hmm. that and done that. And it feels like you're spinning your wheels a little bit, trying to just find something to write about. And I want to make my site something where people aren't just reading the same exact stuff that they're reading on 10 or 20 or 50 other sites. So I'm always trying to find something that's a little bit unique. And sometimes that's hard. So
I was going to say that, you know, when I experience that kind of vacuum, like you feel mm-hmm. like, not to do it. And I told my wife, it's a time to take a vacation.
Exactly. That's when you need a mental health break, right?
So, you know what, Mary Jo? We heard about your story and we know about, you know, some things, some of the story of yours, but we really would like to hear it from you. So you have done so many interviews mm-hmm. and tell me some of the interesting story or unforgettable story that you have.
The one I always kind of talk about because people find it entertaining, I think, is when I first met Bill Gates. That's one of my most famous stories that I tell people because when I started out covering tech, I didn't know anything about tech. I just got hired because I was a journalist who was willing to learn about tech. But one of my very first assignments back in 1984, a long time ago, was interviewing Bill Gates. And I didn't know anything about Microsoft. I didn't know anything about operating systems, software. I was just right out of college as a journalist, right? So they kind of threw me to the lions, right? They just gave me Bill Gates. And I interviewed him at Comdex back in the day, you know, in Las Vegas. We were sitting in two folding chairs on the show floor in Las Vegas. And he could not have been more bored as I was talking to him. It was so obvious. You know, he was just like looking around, looking bored. And then some guy came up in the middle of my interview and started talking to him. And like when I'm trying to interview him, you know, it's this guy's talking to him and he's talking to the guy. And I'm looking at my watch going, oh man, I'm losing all my time because he's talking to somebody. So I said to the man who he's speaking with, you know, could you come back later? And he's like, okay. And he left. And Bill Gates said to me, do you know who you just told to leave? And I said, no. And he said, it was Steve Jobs. And I said, who was that? I had no idea who that was. So it's kind of surprising I'm still doing this. I always tell people after such a very inauspicious beginning that they still let me keep my job, but they did.
but you know what? You know, after I heard about that story a long time ago, and I said, yeah, that's Mary Jo. You know, and just imagine that, you know, you're pretty much like you said, that's your first few assignments, right? So you just got into the industry and you're interviewing this big shot, and there's another guy saying, you know what? Yeah, hey, I'm doing something here. Yeah. That's just that's a classic, you know?
Yeah. But it's been cool because, you know, I've gotten to interview so many big shots at Microsoft over the years. You know, I interviewed Bill Gates several times and Steve Ballmer several times. I just recently interviewed Satya Nadella. I had interviewed him before, but not as CEO until the Worldwide Partner Conference. I got some time with him there. And it was funny because Satya said to me, so have you interviewed all of the Microsoft CEOs now? I said, yep, all three. So I feel like my longevity in the industry is paying off now because I'm getting the historical perspective and I'm getting access to a lot of really interesting people. You know, I've gotten to interview people like Mark Rusinovich and a lot of the tech fellows and distinguished engineers, people in Microsoft Research. It's very humbling because, you know, as a journalist, I'm not a technologist like you guys, so sometimes it's very intimidating when they say, hey, you have 30 minutes with Mark Rusinovich, the guy who is, you know, CTO of Azure now, who knows probably more about Windows than anybody on the planet, I would say. So you kind of panic for a moment, and you're like, wow, what am I going to ask this guy that's not going to be dumb, you know? But he actually is really good and really good at explaining things and making technology very fun and interesting for somebody like me and hopefully the readers, so.
That kind of bring up my next question is, so how do you prepare, like if you know you're going to interview some people or even you're writing some, how do you prepare?
So the first thing I do is first find out who is the person, get their background, their history. I do a lot of searching on the web, looking for things they've said or been quoted in. And then I try to figure out kind of what their areas of interest are or their focus is. And then I do more digging and research. I talk to some people, you know, customers, partners, about what the hot button issues are, right? And then I always come in with a really long list of questions when I'm about to do an interview. I come in usually with them on paper most of the time, or sometimes just on index cards. And I always come in with more questions than I know I can ask. I always come prepared. I never come to an interview and just think, I'm just going to wing it. You know, I've seen some people do that, and I'm thinking, wow, maybe that's good if you can be that spontaneous, but it's much better to come very prepared. So I always make research a big part of my focus. And I try to just be honest when I don't understand something that they're talking about. Like, I remember interviewing some of the technical fellows. I was interviewing one, I think it was Chuck Thacker maybe, about field programmable gate arrays. Not an easy topic, especially for someone who's a journalist and not a technologist. And so I just said to him at one point in the interview, I don't understand this part of this. Could you help me? And I think not being afraid to say, even after all this time, there are things I don't know and I need you to explain. You end up with a better piece of content because then the person has to come back and explain it in very plain English. And you usually get a better story that way.
Okay. So far I have learned from Mary Jo Foley is know your audience when you write article, know your audience, kind of write this from your audience perspective. And when you do interview, if somebody interrupt, get him off the way. The third thing is when you come prepare. When you do interview, come prepare. And so I hope I show you that I am prepared because you published a book on May 27th, 2008, Microsoft 2.0. And it's fascinating when I saw that book. So tell us a little bit about that book. How did you come up with the idea and why 2008?
Mm-hmm. So the way I ended up getting my book contract is a very funny and kind of a story a lot of people don't believe when I tell them. I never wanted to write a book. I like doing short form. That's why I like doing news. And so one day out of the blue, I got an email it was a weekend, I remember, and somebody just sent me this email who I didn't know, and they said, why don't you write a book? And I said, I don't want to write a book. I don't think I would like doing it, and I'm not interested. And so then the person came back and said, well, if you were going to write a book, what would you write a book about? So I said, well, you know, Bill Gates is about to leave Microsoft as in terms of his day-to-day responsibilities. So I think the company's at a big inflection point, so I would write about that. And the person came back and said, well, can you tell me more? And then I went back and I said, who are you? And the person said, I'm the guy who does book contracts for Wiley Publishing. And if you would do the book you just described, I would buy it from you right now. And so I said, you know, I really don't want to do this. And he's like, just think about it. Think about it. So I went to Microsoft and I said, hey, if I was going to do a book about how Microsoft is going to change now that Bill Gates is leaving, would you help me? Would you let me have access? And they said, yes. So I wrote a book proposal. It was approved. Everything was great. And then Microsoft changed their minds and said, you know what? We don't actually want you to do that book because our message is business as usual. We don't want people to think it's going to be this huge change when Bill Gates suddenly leaves. But I had already agreed to the book, so I still had to do it. So I had to do it without Microsoft's cooperation, which made it more challenging. But it actually probably made it a better book, I think, because I had to dig and like, I wasn't just being handed the company line, right? I had to go get the information and figure out the pieces and get people's opinions. And so I just went ahead and did it anyway. I got to say, I don't like writing books. I would not like to do another book, but it's not because I don't think books are valuable. I think it's more, it's just not my way of working and something that I enjoy doing.
But you know what, Mary Jo, feel free to write more. You know, we're okay with that. Regarding that book, I don't want to steal the thunder of it, but tell us, what were you trying to convey through the book?
Yeah. So my premise going in was, I think there's about to be a very big change at Microsoft. And I didn't know exactly what form that change would take, but it was a time when a lot of new people were coming in. You know, Ray Ozzie was just joining the company as the new CTO. There were a lot of changes when Steve Ballmer became the acting CEO and a lot of different organizational changes. It was also a very big time of change technology-wise in the industry around 2008. So my idea going in was, I want to write about how Microsoft is going to be different and what I think is going to happen, because I thought it would be something interesting to customers and partners and competitors and probably people who worked at Microsoft also. So I had to make some predictions and talk about trends in the book. And I had to say some things that were a little bit uncomfortable for people to hear. I did write some things in the book about Ray Ozzie. And I said, I thought he was a brilliant guy, but I didn't think he was going to last very long at Microsoft. And he didn't. But it was funny because I had never met Ray Ozzie. And then I guess people were sending him copies of my book with the parts highlighted with me saying that. And when he met me, he said, I understand why you wrote that and you weren't wrong. So it was a little uncomfortable, but you know, it was more a book about, instead of writing about Microsoft's history, which is what a lot of journalists have done and will do, I was trying to look at the future, and writing about the future in the form of a book is pretty hard.
Now, here's a challenge for you. If you would write the book today, what would it be? What would the message that you would like to talk about?
Well, it's funny because a number of people have approached me about writing Microsoft 3.0. and I don't want to do another book, but I can see what it would be about, because now that Nadella is the CEO of the company, I think there's a lot of changes happening. And some of those changes started occurring before he became CEO, kind of late in Steve Ballmer's tenure. But I think it would be a really good book to do about how he's trying to transform Microsoft, kind of bring the company back to its productivity roots, how Microsoft's changing its culture, what the new focuses are for the company under him. I think it would be a very interesting book and probably very useful to a lot of people who are trying to navigate the new Microsoft. So if I were going to do another book, which I am not, that would be kind of where I would go with it, I think.
Okay, so let's just put Microsoft 3.0 kind of on the list just in case. So what's coming out? Where does Mary Jo go from here? What's your next big project?
You know, that's a great question, and one I think about often, and I don't really know what to say on that one. Right now, I still love my job. I love getting up every day and figuring out what's new with Microsoft and writing about new technologies and getting to learn about all these new technologies. So I'm not bored, and I don't feel like I'm at the end of my career. But I don't know what's next. It's hard. It's so, the industry is transforming so quickly, and especially our part of the industry, the reporting and journalistic part. Mm-hmm. You know, the way things worked before and how you did your job, that's totally out the window now. And people who are coming in have very different expectations about how you research something and what it means to confirm something with multiple sources. They don't even know about some of these concepts mm-hmm. that we grew up with, who started long ago. So you wonder, am I going to be able to keep up and keep doing it, keep competing with all these people who are coming in with a different set of ways that they work? But for now, I'm just planning to stay the course and keep doing it.
Well, I tell you what, anytime you have something you would like to share, please come back. It's such a pleasure to have the conversation with you. And so we know more about Mary Jo. And so hopefully, you know what? From my personal view, the IT industry is much more interesting with Mary Jo. So we're so glad, and I'm so glad to have you in the industry. So keep telling us all those, all those stories that we can get from anywhere else.
I will. I'll do my best.
Well, thank you so much. What a pleasure we have, and hopefully in the future, anytime you would like to come back, and just please let us know. Okay. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
And for all you folks out there, I want to also thank our producer, Chris Calwell. He did all the heavy lifting to make this all possible, look nice for you. So until next time, this is Yang Zhou signing off.